It's a Bosa Bolt.
We got to plant a seed for the future.
Hey, we the best. Let's go show it.
What a grab by Mike.
We got to plant a seed for the future.
Lunges into the end zone.
This is where you rise. This is where you shine. This is where you become the greatest of all time. History in the making.
This is LA Football Mondays.
Anytime Eric Dickerson gets a step, he's gone.
Talking all things football with Rams Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com. And now, on AM 570 and live on the iHeartRadio app, here's Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson.
All right, we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. And now jumping on and joining the show, our buddy Eric Dickerson. ED, how are you today?
Good. What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing fine, and this is great news. You've got your microphone stand, so now you will not suffer from carpal tunnel syndrome by actually holding the microphone.
Well, first of all, I was going to say thank you, Kevin, because I know Fred ain't going to buy nothing with his cheap self. So thank you so much, Kevin. I appreciate it. You get to look up his face, Fred. I can see it right now. I got it delivered yesterday.
Good. So now you're in business.
Why are you quiet, Fred? Why are you quiet?
No,
I'm in business.
No, you're in business.
Fred wasn't going to pay for nothing?
Yeah, man, you know Fred ain't going to buy nothing. Come on now.
Come on. Now, wait a minute. That's not fair. A couple of times we did some remotes, the old shows we would do live, and all of a sudden you thought it would be very kind, and you have a huge heart. You just thought it would be great to donate to charity. But, you know, we're not all rolling in dough like you are. So when you start with, and Fred will give $1,000. I'm like, what are you doing?
Hey, well, first of all, I played for the Rams. I do not roll in dough. If I'm rolling dough, I go there. Dough you cook with. Come on, Fred, you've been working 99 years. Come on, you got all that money stirred up. Come on, you got any mattress?
Please. All right, let's get to the Rams. Let's get started here. And first of all, what'd you think of the uniforms yesterday?
Oh, Fred.
Fred, you know I hate them uniforms. I mean, seriously. Someone was sitting here watching the game, and they were with me, and they're like, man, them uniforms just ugly. That's all I can say. They're horrible. But like I say, one thing I always say, it's about winning. It's not about the uniform, but them uniforms. We have the ugliest uniforms in the National Football League, bar none. Let's just put it like this. I'm just going to put it out there. But with 2-0, that's all that counts. And the pants, the little stripes.
Yeah, Fred, they wore the same white uniforms they wore at home, Fred.
Yeah, you can't tell the one from another. What was that, bone? What color is that? Right, was that bone?
I think it's bone. That's what they call it, is bone.
Bad to the bone.
It ought to be called gone.
All right, let's get started with.
Okay, anyway, let's talk football. Let's talk football. Get that uniform.
All right, let's get started with Jared Goff. Last year, okay. And it was not unfair to say there were times he looked like a deer in headlights. This year, and they've only played a couple of games, but he seems in complete command of the offense. Yesterday, I think he hit 13 passes in a row at one point. Eric, what has been the transformation or the turnaround for Jared Goff?
Well, one thing is, I think Sean McVay has figured a way to get the ball out of his hand very quick, and I think that is a plus. Even yesterday, I mean, they were getting rid of the ball very quickly. You know, you have your first read, second read, third read, and I think what they're doing is they're – and Rodney, maybe you can jump in on this. If the first read is not open, he's getting that second read, and I think they run a lot of short patterns underneath, you know, because before, you know, we wanted to go downfield, going for the bomb, the 30-yarder, 20-yarder. We're satisfied with getting the ball in our receivers' hands on the short passes and letting them run for it, which I think is great. I mean, you have to take what the team gives you. And I think that is what McVay has done. Goff, I think yesterday was 12 for 12 at one point. I mean, and he looked like he was in total command of that offense. And that's, you know, that's what I've been wanting to see from our quarterback. I mean, really. I mean, he's playing like an NFL quarterback as opposed to play. Like, he knows the field out there. I know my pre-reads. You know, I know what I have to do. And if I don't know where to go with it, I throw it away. You know, I just don't stand there and take the sack and throw it over my shoulder if I don't have to. But, you know, this football team is very good. And I got to say, you know, the Cowboys, you know, and I thought that was going to be a really tough game. It was. The Eagles aren't very good. But still, you know, in football, as long as you win the game. And We've never played well against the Eagles. Going back to my time playing with the Rams, the Eagles have always seemed to have the Rams' number. Even when they went to the Super Bowl that year, I think they played the Eagles in the playoff game. They struggled with them very badly. So winning that game on the road in Philadelphia, I know it's no fans in the stand. I mean, some fans are the worst, but it was a big win for the Rams.
I know, definitely. I think you're right about Jared Goff. He just looks, I don't know if it's sometimes, and you know this, ED, and I hate to use the word simplified, but sometimes when you go with what people do well instead of, and coaches get caught up into this, and I've been with coaches, even John Gruden back in the day used to get caught up in their offense, what they wanted to run, and sometimes it's not always what the quarterback likes or what the quarterback does well, and sometimes it doesn't work out. And when you are, you know, when you're able to have that communication with your quarterback, say, I like this play, this suits me well, I'm comfortable. He looks so much more comfortable this year. He looks like he did the year they went to the Super Bowl, where it feels like, you know, every play is something that he believes is going to work. Whereas, as you mentioned, Fred, he looked a little uncomfortable last year and felt like they were holding the ball a lot last year, which they ended up in a lot of sacks. And I don't know if it's because of the makeshift of the offensive line that they're making sure he gets the ball out quick, but it's certainly effective right now. And to be 2-0, regardless of who it's against, is great at this point in the season, because we don't know how this year is going to go. I mean, I know we're going to get into it, but we are already seeing teams that are getting devastated by injuries, and so you knock on wood that's not going to happen to the Rams.
Really, I mean, even when I think about the Rams and the Super Bowl year. It was times that Jared did not look comfortable. He didn't look comfortable in the pocket. I was like, man, he's holding the ball too long. And I'm not a quarterback. I mean, but I'm like, you know, when you're holding the ball, like, okay, 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, like, hey, you gotta get rid of that ball now. That ball gotta come out. And it just looked very uncomfortable. But these first two football games, think about it, with no preseason, man, he's looked very, very, very good, I gotta say. So I think if you're a Ram fan, you have to be proud of the way the team has played, in spite of them ugly uniforms. But, you know, we are 2-0. And you know the thing I'm really surprised about is where we ran the football. We ran the football, I mean, very effectively. Something that I said this 2 weeks ago is that I think that with Sean McVay not having Todd Gurley, I wish we had Todd, but that's not my team. You know, that I don't have to worry about, I have a $15 million running back. I got to get him the ball. You know, I have really three young backs. You know, I can spread it around when I want to. I can have one to run. I can have one to catch, and it's working. And that's all.
And do you think, Ed? Do you think that not having Todd too is from a defensive standpoint? They're looking at, okay, we don't got to stop Todd Gurley now. We're not so much concerned about the running back, and right now they're using that. The Rams are using it to their advantage because they don't have Todd. They're using it. I mean, they have committee, but going into games, you know, it was like, okay, we want to make Jared Goff beat us. We're not going to let Todd Gurley beat us. And so now that has changed, and they're able to. And plus, they're committed to running the football. Even when the first quarter or so is not going well, they are committed to running the football, something that we hadn't seen in the last year or two.
You're right. Something that we had not seen with the Rams. I mean, since the Sean McVay era, I mean, he likes to throw the football. I mean, I do jet sweep, but I like the offense we're running right now. I mean, look, it's not going to look like this all the time. Just letting all you fans know, it's going to be times we're going to struggle. I mean, that's football. It could happen this week. Hopefully not in Buffalo. Buffalo has a very good defense. And they have a young quarterback over there. So right now, running the football, the mix of running and passing and the rotating in the backs, has been good. I mean, I tell you a guy, to me, doesn't get enough credit. I mean, it's Tyler Higbee. I mean, Tyler Higbee I think he's, to me, one of the top tight ends in the National Football League at a young age. I mean, and getting the ball in his hands make a big difference. I mean, back in my day, the tight end was not really that important. I mean, it was like, you know, it was a blocking, and every once in a tight end may catch one or two passes, and that was it. But you set the block. But the today's football is 7-on-7, and having a great tight end is a plus. And we have one of the top tight ends in the NFL.
And what they've done now is, I mean, Cooper Kupp obviously is Jared Goff's favorite target, Robert Woods. But when you now have Tyler Higbee, all of a sudden Jared Goff can spread that ball out. And Rodney's a quarterback, you know how effective it is if you have a tight end that can catch the ball and make plays. It's just a very special added dimension, very much like Rob Gronkowski.
Oh no, it's a friendly target. And certain teams use it well, and certain teams don't use it well. I always like to be on teams that had, you know, had real use of a tight end, especially if you got one that's an athletic tight end that can, because you can create a lot of mismatches with your tight ends. Why we see Kelce get so open for Kansas City and Kittle, when healthy for San Francisco, does so much damage, because a lot of times they're going up against linebackers and if you have a good athletic tight end, they can't really stay with those guys. It's a friendly, like Cooper is a friendly target for Jared Goff. Tight ends, a good tight end is the same thing.
Cooper Kupp fumbled that ball near the end of the first half on the punt. I thought, don't, you know, let's not fall apart here. That was painful. But that kind of thing's going to happen. But I don't even know if he should have made a play in that ball, Eric.
Well, you know, you said it best, Fred. Those things are going to happen. You know, I always say guys will go out there and say, you know what, man? I'm going to fumble this ball this time. You know what? I'm going to throw the ball to the other team. Say, hell with it. I'm going to give them a shot. you're out there giving it your all. The big thing after that play is the team that Philadelphia scored, but the team came back. They stayed and they responded. We're going to go down and score also. And at that point, Philly could never have an answer. So, you know, you look at that, you say, hey, that's a sign of a good football team. And playing on the road, even though you don't have those Philadelphia fans there, it's still a good sign that you were able to come back, gather yourself. Hey, that's part of football. We're going to take it. We're going to go down and we're going to score. And we're going to do what we have to do. And our defense take, you know, got a great interception in the end zone off of Wentz, and take it and score. And so I think that was the turning point in that football game. They got that ball for an interception and went down and scored, and like, hey, never looked back.
Well, talking about no fans in the stands in Philadelphia, Rodney and I touched on this earlier. I thought it was mind-boggling. Carson Wentz didn't have a great game. He's coming off the field. There is nobody in the stands. There are no fans. And the guy operating the sound equipment boos him. Carson Wentz, the quarterback for the Eagles, is booed in his home stadium with no fans because the person operating the soundboard hit the boo sound effect. Could there be anything more demoralizing or tacky, Eric?
Well, man, look, they booed Santa Claus. The Philadelphia Eagles fans would boo Jesus if he came into the stadium.
But they weren't They weren't there. It was the guy operating the sound equipment.
Hey, he's a fan. They were there. He speaks for Philadelphia. I'm speaking for all Philadelphia fans. Boo.
But he was
not a Philly fan.
But he's paid by the team.
Yeah, but maybe he was channeling the fans and kind of in his mind going, what would the fans do at this moment?
There you go, Rodney. What would the fans do?
Yeah, could you?
And that's how he operated the board, Fred. It's like, okay, what would the fans do? We like to boo, so we'll boo our own team.
Okay, so let's say for argument's sake, Philip Rivers was still playing quarterback for the Chargers and went through one of his typical games throwing 9 interceptions. Do you think the sound guy at SoFi, if that was the case, would hit a button to boo Philip Rivers, the sound guy employed by the Chargers? No.
No, that's not the Charger fan. That's not in the Chargers' nature, but that is in Philadelphia's nature. That is the Philly fans. They'll boo you. Like Eric, I was there when they booed Santa Claus. I was there when they booed that girl. Well, they mooed that girl that got married at halftime. They mooed her, boy. Ooh, that was rough. I was like, why are they mooing like cows? And then I saw a wedding happening out on halftime. I was like, oh, that's bad.
That was tacky.
But, yeah, that's the nature of Philly. So I don't think it would happen in L.A., but the Philly fans, they'll do anything.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, first of all, I mean, Chargers don't have no fans, no way. One or two fans.
Oh, okay, here we go. Here we go.
No, I'm messing around with that.
No, you're not. You're not messing around, and you know it.
I really am. They got some fans, but no, I mean they wouldn't do that in L.A. That's not something you do in L.A. Not a sound guy. But and like you said, Rod said it earlier. He's in Philly. He's like I'm representing all Eagles fans right now. Boo! So yeah, I'm not shocked.
All right, talking about that nice little team, whether you like them or not. They had a great game yesterday. Most watched television event in this city yesterday. And I think there's going to be a bit of a problem now with that nice little team. Then we'll get to it next.
Yes, it's an LA Football Monday. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, and the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson, hanging out. It's a good weekend, Fred. You know why?
Why?
Neither ED, myself, or you got injured.
A lot of people did. Boy.
Yeah, man.
A lot of injuries this weekend. And I guess that makes you wonder, is it because these were injuries, or would some make the argument, well, you didn't have the real training camp, you didn't have any preseason games, and injuries are going to happen?
Hey, you asked me that question.
You can take it, Eric.
Well, yes, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, it's hard to get ready to play a football game when, and especially today's football, where you don't tackle, you just kind of bump, push on a guy a little bit. Because back in our day, we would hit. We had a drill called inside drill. That was live tackling. I mean, just like a regular game. I mean, may not take the guy down, but, you know, the offensive line was hitting. And they were hitting us and thought they wouldn't take us down all the time. And it was for real. Like, they rushed the quarterback. They didn't tackle the quarterback, but it was a real rush. And, you know, you can make them same cuts, you know, in practice. But when you have a preseason game and your body gets used to doing it, because, you know, you got to get used to doing it, you know, getting hit, getting tackled. All of a sudden now, you go from, okay, we've been doing it like this for 4 weeks, just, you know, pushing a little bit, you know, you're tapping them on the shoulder. Now you go to get tackled. And that tackling is different. I mean, it really is. I mean, you had a lot of injuries. I mean, a plethora of injuries yesterday, like, you know, McCaffrey, you know, what he, and I'd like to know how his ankle is doing. Is it that serious? Saquon Barkley. I mean, it's just Bosa. I mean, it's so many injuries, I mean, around the league. And you have to start questioning, you know, is it because we didn't have preseason? I mean, players don't like preseason. Rodney, I know I didn't like it. You didn't like it. No. But I think it's a necessary. But you have to have it.
Yeah, but I didn't like preseason. But you know how it is. You can't simulate practice in your workouts, and you can't simulate games in practice. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you can work out all summer, and, you know, teams were not able to be together as much as they would have liked. And then you're going to see these things. You know, game action is a whole different animal. Game shape, game action. Those cuts that you practice out there when nobody's around, you don't always have those type of cuts and movements when somebody's coming to actually tackle you. And so your body's not used to all of that until you actually get into real game action or even real practice action. So I think this is just the tip of the iceberg that we're going to see more and more guys that end up getting injured throughout this season. And I don't know if it's just because of that, but I definitely believe that the shortened offseason is definitely a factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and we got these big-name players. I mean, San Francisco had four players go down yesterday, like almost right behind one another, like one after the other. And, you know, Saquon Barkley, I mean, when I saw him, his injury, it didn't look like it was much, but, you know, and that's when you get hurt. The one that don't look like it's a much. Like, that hit didn't look that hard. I mean, Cam Akers, I mean, when you know the thing about him, when he went down, as soon as I said, he's hurt. I knew it because I could tell the way he fell. It was awkward, you know. I thought it was his neck or his shoulder, but they think it's his ribs. But, you know how certain ways you try to fall or try not to get hit. You know, you as a quarterback, right? You see a quarterback get a hit, you say, oh, that's a killer hit. You know, that's a shot there. As a running back, you make a cut, you see a guy's leg buckle a little bit. Like, he might have hurt his knee on that. So I just think it's like you said, you really do need that practice. You need that. If you don't need all those preseason games, maybe you need one preseason game, two, to get used to getting hit. You have to get hit because you can't emulate it in practice.
A lot of guys got hurt. I mean, Barkley out for the year, Bosa out for the year.
Yeah, Garoppolo. We don't know how long he's out.
High ankle
McCaffrey,
sprain.
As Eric just mentioned.
Yeah.
We don't know how long he's out. Who was it, Fred, last week? It was one of the Pac-12 coaches, right? Said when they start, you know, decided that the Big Ten is going to play and the Pac-12 may play, that get ready for a bunch of injuries. Get ready for them. You know, if they're all about safety, get ready for a bunch of injuries for these kids. And we're going to see it in college football, too, I think, because you can't simulate that. You know, you can't guard from that guy coming out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you can make an immediate decision in a split second to cut. Those things you can't simulate just running, you know, doing things on your own.
Right, right. Well, it was a tough day around the league. Although, for the nice little team, as Eric would refer to them, the Chargers, Tyrod Taylor, starting quarterback, injured his ribs in practice last week. Before the game, apparently he goes out to warm up, and he says, I can't breathe. Well, they said, you're not playing if you can't breathe. Sit down. They actually sent him to the hospital. He was released from the hospital and seems to be okay, whatever that injury is. So here's Justin Herbert, the first-round draft pick, thrown into the game. We're getting ready to kick, and you're starting. He was really, I mean, he made a mistake, and ultimately I think it cost him the game. He threw a pick, but I thought he was magnificent. Just really complete command for a guy that didn't even know he was going to play as a rookie in his first game. Rodney, you can speak to this.
Go back, Fred. Go back when you said the full explanation was Tyrod got hurt in practice?
Last week, and he re-aggravated that before the game.
Right before the game. During warm-ups in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what happened to him. And Herbert comes in, and really, I mean, he had quite the debut, wouldn't you think?
No, I thought he was great. I thought he was poised, for a rookie. Again, like we just talked about, not having training camp, not having any preseason games, and especially for a quarterback, you talk about game speed. The game speed from college to pro from a quarterback's perspective is night and day, and the reads are night and day, and the window of somebody being open is different from college to pro. So for him to come in and have the success, I mean, he took him down in his first drive.
Yeah.
And he scored a touchdown, threw a touchdown pass, and I think the play you're talking about when he should have ran for the first down instead he threw it for an interception. But they still came back, and they were in the game, and it took a last-second field goal or an overtime for them to lose. But I thought he played well, and well enough to now say, okay, do we just go with the guy now?
And that's the problem. And that is going to create a problem. Anthony Lynn came out and said, if Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he's a quarterback. He's not losing his job. He's the quarterback. But given what you saw yesterday, how can that be? I mean, Eric, should a guy lose his job when he got hurt?
Well, you know, the NFL rule has been for years that you can't lose your job to injuries. I mean, that's what happened in New England when Tom Brady took over for
Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe. You know, he couldn't lose his job, but what he did. I feel like one thing is that, you know, he did play well yesterday. He did play well. But I think Anthony's right. You know, he can't lose his job because of injury. I mean, and they didn't win the football game. If they'd have won the football game, maybe so. Maybe it'd have been something that he possibly could have, you know, kept the job. I don't believe in that. I believe you give a guy a chance, you know, to get his job back. But he did a good job of pushing the ball downfield, I got to say. I mean, he pushed the ball downfield. He made, you know, a rookie mistake. And, he, you know, but we used to seeing that, you know, with Phillip Rivers. And I hate to keep jumping on Phillip Rivers. Man, he's not a rookie, you know.
Yeah.
Throwing interception at the end of the – about to win the game and end up losing the game. But I thought he played fantastic. I mean,
yeah. It might have been a blessing for him that he didn't know he was starting until right before the game, because he didn't have any time to get nervous. It was just like, okay, I'm playing today, and he didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it. But I think that is true in terms of not losing your job if it's, you know, 1 or 2 weeks. Now, if this is something that lingers for 6 weeks and Herbert's got to play for 6 weeks, then I think it's a different story. But it being one game that he's out, I don't think Tyrod Taylor should lose his job. And as Eric said, as close as it was and as good as I thought he played, they still didn't win. And it's 1 week. If he's healthy to play next week, it should be Tyrod Taylor's job.
Right. And the Chargers are a good football team. I keep saying
they are
a good football team. They have a good – they're well-coached. I mean, you know, I think Anthony Lynn has some of the worst luck is injuries. I mean, he's got players that are just injured. I mean, it's not him. You know, it's not on him. But it's like, man, you want to see him do well. They have all this talent. It's like Derwin James got hurt again. I mean, but it's just like they just can't seem to get over the hump. Like yesterday at one point, I think it was 3rd and 20. I'm like, okay, if they could just get him to kick the ball, stop him, you know, this game could be over with. And Mahomes picks up 20 yards running the ball. You're like, wow, you know, man, Chargers, you know, just like, dang, it keeps happening to him over and over. But I'm going to tell you this much here. That Chargers defense, they were hitting Patrick Mahomes yesterday. Did you – I mean, he was getting hit. It's a certain team that match up well with you. I go back to when we played the Seahawks back when we were terrible. The Rams were terrible. They seem to always play well against the Seahawks because our defensive line matched up well with the offensive line. And that's the deal here with the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. They always have some close football games.
Mahomes did that like four times yesterday. Scrambled for first downs. You know, if in any of those situations. But, you know, when you've got Mahomes, you got to be back defensively trying to cover guys. But he was able to squirt through. If in any of those situations, really, they could have prevented that, that might have been a different game. The star for Kansas City, you might think, it was Mahomes. It was their kicker. That guy's really, really good. And if you think about it, at the end of the game when they won it, he tried a 53-yarder, okay? Kansas City was penalized. They backed him up to 58 yards. He kicks it, but wait a minute, the Chargers call timeout. So then he's got to do it a third time. Now, afterwards, he said, well, that was just two practice kicks for me, so I wasn't going to miss it. But, listen, you know, it was pretty annoying. It was very annoying that I've got to go out there and do it three consecutive times. What do you think about the icing the kicker?
I don't know. Eric, look, Eric and I play golf, Fred. We've seen you swing, so you don't play golf very much.
Never played that game.
I'd be fair.
But if you get three shots at the green from 150 out, ED, usually your third shot's going to be your best one, right?
Sometimes the second one is the best one. Like, why can't we can't let that guy hit first? Yeah, I mean, man, he had three shots at it. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, I'm the icing the kicker. I'm not big on it. I don't think it does anything, me personally. But I guess you know, sometimes
I think it relaxes the kicker. To be honest with you, I think he says, okay, I know what I did right there. I'm just going to repeat it, or I'm going to correct it if I missed it. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So okay, I get another shot at it, so I'm good. I think they go in expecting it to be, you know, them to be iced, and I think the second time around it relaxes them a little bit more.
And if you're going toward the ball, kicking, they call that timeout. You're like, oop, is he gonna call a timeout or not? Now stop. <That's a problem. laughs>
Okay. So for the Chargers, disappointing they lost, but I think if you're a fan of the team, you have to be encouraged. And we'll see what happens now with Justin Herbert if Anthony Lynn sticks to script and goes back to Tyrod Taylor, if Tyrod Taylor is healthy this week.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you. To me, a surprise with the Chargers has been Josh Kelly, the running back from UCLA.
Yeah, he looks good.
We know. You know, Austin Eckler. You know, we know what he is. You know, he's good at the backfield, if not one of the best receiving running backs in the National Football League. They got a real 1-2 punch there. I mean, Josh Kelly looks really good. I'm talking about like, wow, man, I didn't see this coming. So, I mean, that was a great pick by them.
Hey, is it acceptable to say a woman got cakes on the down low?
What?
Yeah, are you supposed to say that? I don't think you are. I cannot believe we haven't changed that yet. I can't believe it. Didn't they say we were going to change that?
I'm with you, Fred.
No, Fred, you said you would like us to change it. We didn't say that we would acquiesce.
Oh, so that's how it's going to go? That's how it works?
I mean, I don't control that. You have to take that up with Bob.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. Today's Who to Follow features Eagles backup quarterback Josh McCown. You can follow him on Twitter at JoshMcCown12. The well-traveled veteran signal caller often retweets NFL stories and offers his own commentary, often self-depreciating in nature. After Patrick Mahomes signed his record 10-year contract with Kansas City, McCown tweeted, so is this team better than signing for a one-year deal with 10 different teams? In another recent post, he retweeted a story about Tom Brady struggling to learn a new playbook for the first time in 20 years, along with a caption, finally, something I might do better than Tom, along with a laughing, crying emoji. Follow him at JoshMcCown12.
Isn't he backup quarterback, but he's not with the team, he's living at home?
He's a practice squad quarterback for the Eagles, Rodney, and he's zooming into quarterback meetings. And that's it.
Boy,
he's making 12 grand a week.
Some guys got all the luck.
Some guys have all the luck.
Well, so he
that song.
He's kind of like Josh Rosen, except he doesn't have to show up.
Man. Yes.
He's on the practice squad, just like Josh Rosen.
Yep.
And how in the world?
He's the oldest practice squad player in the history of the sport. I believe he's 41 or 42.
Yeah. And Colin Kaepernick can't get a job?
Yeah.
I mean, I just got to say. I mean, that don't even make sense to me.
Just leave it right there. Eh?
I'm just saying. I mean, yeah, it's just curious, but golly. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to have that deal, Rodney?
Oh, 12, my goodness. 12,000. I could sit at home and chill, just zoom into quarterback meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, unless two guys go down.
Yeah, ain't got to worry about getting hit. That's what you call a buddy deal.
That's a buddy deal.
A homeboy deal. That's the old homeboy deal.
All right. Do you guys?
It's all right. Enough of that.
No, not that. I mean, here's a homeboy too. Do you remember Ty Lawson? He played in the NBA. Remember the name?
Yeah.
Okay. Kinda. He played for the Timberwolves. They traded him to the Nuggets. Had a stop in Houston, Indiana, Sacramento.
North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Won a national title at North Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Played 8 years in the league. Well, when he got out of the league, he went over to play in China. And actually did a pretty good job this year. Led his team to the playoffs. But, you know, he's not in a bubble. He's got to kill time. And I was unaware of the fact that they have strip clubs in China. But apparently they do. What's that, Kevin?
Now he says he wasn't at a strip club.
Yeah, I saw this.
Oh, where
he wasn't at a strip club, Fred. Let's get that straight. Don't be putting it out there like that, Fred.
Okay.
See, you always want to tell the bad side of the story, Fred. He was at a regular nightclub.
Okay. He was at a nightclub where they just happened to perform lap dances.
Who's they? One woman.
We really? Don't know given how many. Time.
See how stuff spreads?
Yeah, see how Fred stuff?
Anyway, he went to a nightclub where one woman apparently was performing.
Apparently, you haven't been to many nightclubs in your day, Fred.
No. I ain't been to a strip club. What are you talking about, a nightclub?
No, I don't go. All right.
You never been to a strip club,
Fred? Sometimes the nightclubs look like a strip club.
Okay.
Now, that's the truth with the lights.
Mm-hmm. Well, wherever he was at this club, apparently a woman performed a lap dance for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very impressed by the lap dance. And he put on Instagram, Chinese women got cakes on the low. Might switch up my stance soon. Followed by a photo of a stripper giving him a lap dance.
She wasn't a stripper.
She was just a lady, just dancing?
Yeah, dancing in a nightclub.
That happened to me before.
Okay. Well, apparently the thing that caught people off guard was his suggestion that Chinese women got cakes on the low.
You know what that means, Fred?
You know what that means, Fred?
He's got a nice booty, Fred.
Exactly, Fred. Fred don't know what that means.
I'm not eating anybody's cake. So
he didn't say he's going to eat the cake.
Oh, man.
I don't know about the cake. But apparently this woman had some cake. And he decided to put it out.
Would you rather him say, oh, she got a fat, you know what?
A P-H-A-T-S.
No, Eric, I would not prefer that he say that.
Well, let me
I
say
don't know
this,
why man. He needs to tell everybody about this woman's cake.
Hey, man, and I like Asian women. I mean, I think they're beautiful. But I like them with some bottom, like some kapow, ping, boom, like Batman, put-ow, put-ow. You know, that's what the brother tried to get at.
So he was so impressed.
That, he had to put it out there.
Well, at this point, people decided that he had made a racist remark. Well, now he had to go on social media and say he was not a racist and he was not trying to make a racial remark, but he was simply indicating that he had a little cake.
Yeah. So people went nuts.
Yeah.
People went nuts. I saw this. I'm just going to jump in, Fred, because my kids, you know, they're hip to everything. So they saw it. And then they were showing me the string, and it took a hard left turn and went racist, like in 0 to 100. And the people responding really did take it as a racial slur, and they were going at him to the point where they were saying, kick him out of the country. Didn't he get kicked out of the CBA?
Oh, he got kicked out of the league.
Got kicked out of the league. They were saying, kick him out of the country. It was ugly. It was, some of the comments were really, really ugly to the point where I think he had to respond to it, right?
Yeah, he did respond, but it was too late. So they kicked him out of the league. Eric, do you think what he said was racist?
Did they really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Not at all. I mean, and I get where he's coming from. I mean, you look at, first of all, everybody's body is different. And you look at certain nationalities that have certain things. I mean, let's say, like, you know, like the, and it's my opinion. I mean, like the Latin girls, like Puerto Ricans or Dominican girls, they have, the bodies are like, wow. I mean, they are. I mean, they're like, they built like sisters. They're just known for having great bodies. They're not saying that any woman can't have a great body. You know, but as we know it, especially as brothers, you look at girls like, man, wow, she got pow, she got it bang. I mean, and Asian girls I've seen some Asian girls like, wow, pow. But they have beautiful hair, but they're not known for having those, like, you know, the curvaceous hips. And that's nothing against them. I like them. And I don't think he said he hating on them. He just saw one that made first him of go all, like, man.
So I don't think it was not racist what he said, I guess, is the biggest thing, you know. No.
He felt he was being complimentary.
Is that what they call it, racist?
Yeah, they called it racist.
Exactly.
It was racist.
And
it wasn't. And it wasn't being racist. I don't think it was being racist. It just was one of those things where, and it was, you know, to a generation. That's just. I mean, that's just what people do. Maybe he was too comfortable being in the States. You know, where, you know, you go out and you say, "Ooh, she got a nice whatever," and everybody's cool with it, and they weren't cool with it over there.
Man, you know, that's like saying every black person, woman has big suku. They call them suku. All of them. That's not true.
What does suku mean? Man,
lips, Fred. Lips.
Soup okay. Coolers. Soup coolers. Soup
you
coolers.
Cool your soup coolers.
That's not. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. Every black woman have big.
This is an education for Fred.
This is an education for Fred. Fred, come on, Fred.
Okay, listen.
I mean, that's not true.
But that
I mean,
would that like, used to be wow. a bad I mean, thing that, until lately. Now it's a good thing to have fuller lips.
Oh, all of a sudden, you see all the white girls, they like, wow, but they look like they kissed the hot stove, some of them. Some of them be like, who kissed on that hot stove? Lips looking like, ay! you know I'm telling the truth. That's why you're laughing.
I'm laughing because this might be the final segment we ever do on the air.
Well, is that it? Hey.
All right, cool your soup.
Miguel, we're gonna bring you some soup, Fred.
We'll find out what's lit next.